There was a woman, and I don't remember her name, but she was about 70 years old, and her 50-year-old daughter was there with her. And when she came up for prayer, I said, "Ma'am, what can I pray for you for?" She said, "I got a pain in my right hip and my right leg." I said, "How long have you had it?" She said, 12 years. And so Cheryl immediately says, "Ma'am, do you have an unforgiveness toward your husband?" Isn't that amazing? Do you have an unforgiveness toward your husband? What makes you think because you have a pain in your right hip and your right leg, it's your husband? Because the right side of your body is male and your left side is female. And if you got an unforgiveness toward your husband, it'll always be somewhere in your right side. Now, if you got unforgiveness or whatever toward a female, it'll be in your left side. But it was in this woman's right side, in her right hip. And I said, "How long you had it?" She said, 12 years. When Cheryl said, "Do you have an unforgiveness toward your husband?" And the daughter said, "Cheryl, you hit my mother right between the eyes. Yes, she has an unforgiveness toward daddy and has a worse unforgiveness toward daddy's brother."
Oh, wow.
And so I said, "Well, ma'am, you've got to forgive him." I said, "That's why you got the pain." Now then, if you got an unforgiveness, what did the Lord say he would do? He would turn you over to who? The tormentors. Do they put pain on you? Yes, they put hurt and pain on you. So here she is with this pain in her hip and her right leg. And I told her, I said, "Will you forgive your husband?" She said, "Well, yes, okay." I said, "Well, tell the Lord. Lord, I will promise you I will forgive my husband." She said, "Okay, Lord, I promise you I'll forgive my husband and I'll love him." I said, "Now, how about the brother-in-law?" She said, "Do I have to go tell him? Do I have to go tell him? I mean, she don't want to go tell him." I walked right up to her and put my arm right on her shoulder, and I looked her right now. I said, "Ma'am, I believe it would really make our Lord happy if you were to promise him right now that when you go home, you'd walk up and put your hand on your brother-in-law's shoulder and look him right in the eye and say, 'Leroy, I'm going to love you because Jesus commanded me to love you. I'm going to love you. I don't care what you do to me. I don't care how mean you are to me. I'm going to love you forever from this day forth in Jesus' name.'" I said, "Will you do that?" She said, "Yes, I'll do." "Oh," she said, oh. I said, "What happened? You okay?" She said, "My pain just left. My pain just left." Who turns you over to the tormentor? God does. Who can take the tormentor away? God. He's in control. He's running the show. The devil's not running the show. God's running the show. And that lady walked away from there with no pain in her hip and her leg. And Cheryl and I continued to pray for people for at least 30 minutes or an hour. And in a little while, this lady came up and she said, "Pastor, I got to tell you something before I go home." She said, "I have been pain-free ever since." And she said, "I'm telling you, ain't neither one of them boys worth all that pain I've suffered for 12 years. And she's truthful. But see, she had no idea that the unforgiveness toward those two boys was hurting her and not them. They wasn't neither one of them boys worth that 12 years worth of pain. It ain't. It is not worth it. But see, we don't realize that when we sin, we get whacked. Isn't that something? When you sin, you get whacked. And then you want to get well. I can't imagine anybody wanting to get well, can you? Does anybody want to be sick? No, we don't want to be sick. What do we have to do to not be sick? Obey. Stand by faith. If we've got sick, and then all we got to do is come and repent of our sins, promise God we'll walk in love and do what He says. And if we walk in love and walk in faith and do what He says, does He promise to take away our sickness? Yes, He sure does. Yeah. Verse 35. Let's see this verse. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Now, if you don't forgive, who's going to send that tormenting spirit to torment you? God. Do you want Him to send that big, mean devil to torment you? Do you think it would pay good dividends to walk in love?
Yes.
It does great dividends to walk in love. When we walk in love, we don't have to be sick. Now we can go back to Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, and let's see what happens under this old covenant. But this is a good, great promise for us today. Psalms 103, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." And when's the last time you drove down the road blessing the Lord? I hope today. Lord, we praise you and worship you and thank you. You're our Lord. When you go to bed at night, what should you go to bed at night doing? Grumbling and complaining?
No.
Praising the Lord. You know, if you're, you know what? My son just come back from Haiti. Anybody ever heard of Haiti? Anybody know what happened to Haiti just a few months ago? There was a president down there that said about 2-3 years ago, a group of Christians went to the president of Haiti and said, we'd like to have a prayer meeting on the palace grounds in the name of Jesus. And he said, never. There will never be a prayer meeting in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I will never allow it to happen in Haiti. Oh, God happened to be listening. So he reached over and just jingled Haiti just a little bit. And what happened to the whole city of Port-au-Prince? It fell into shambles. And how many people died? Do we have any idea? 250 to up to 500,000 people died. Is that awful? Awful. But guess what? After God shook the place and tore all the buildings down, my son went down there and he said, Dad, that's the most awful thing I've ever seen in my life. He went down there and worked for 8 days and then came home. And I said, well, did you feel comfortable down there? He said, Dad, I was very uncomfortable from the minute I got off of that airplane until I landed in Miami. Coming back, I was uncomfortable. He said, you never know. He said, the UN, which I thought I'll be safe with those UN soldiers until I found out they were South Koreans. He said, I couldn't talk to them anyway. So he said, they're going to leave the 21st of June. He said, these people down there, Dad, are not capable of governing themselves. So he said, when the UN leaves, it's going to be awful. It's going to be chaos. He said, in fact, one of our boys on the bus we were on, when we got ready to leave, he said, one boy had a can of Coke. He said, there was one Haitian boy out there all by himself and four on this side of the bus. So since we had one Coke, he said, the boy started to throw the can out and two or three of the Haitian boys on the bus said, don't do that, don't do it. He said, oh, well, I want him to have it. So he threw it out the window to the kid. He said, we got about 50 yards down the road and we turned back and looked and it was somewhere between 25 and 50 kids mauling that kid for that Coke. A battle, a war going on, survival of the fittest. That president looked up that ministry that wanted to have the prayer meeting down there in Haiti, and they had a prayer meeting that lasted 3 days of fasting and praying, and every day there was over 1 million people in attendance. 1 million. I asked him what he thought about that. He said, Dad, they may come in the name of Jesus, but they don't know who he is. They don't know him. I thought, that sounds like the church in America.
Amen.
We go to church, but we don't know him either. Do we?
No.
We go to church, and we don't know who he is. I mean, when Jesus said, be holy because I am holy, how many people go to church and they don't even hear that? Y'all know where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And we walking in sin? And we walk out of the church. We walk out of the church, you bump into one of your supposedly buddies as you go by, you bump into him, and he said, what do you mean, you stupid old guy? What, pay attention to where you're walking. That's in church. We don't know Jesus. We don't know the love of God. And we wonder why we got all this sickness and disease all over the church. Children in rebellion. First of all, why are children in rebellion? Because they were not disciplined. I think the other day, it's been a while back, but Dave and Yesha's got four children, but little Joshua, you know, he's just two, and he's just getting big enough to test everybody now, you know? And the other day, I happened to be over in their house, and he stood up in his little high chair. Mama said, Joshua, sat down. He didn't even flinch. He just stood up. Mama never said another word. She just reached around and picked up the switch. As soon as she picked up the switch, bam, it's amazing how he hit. Amazing how quick he could sit down. Isn't that amazing? What made the difference? He saw the switch and he knew what it felt like because he had had it before. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, if we could get to the point where we could recognize that God's fixing to switch us, we would change. But we're not that smart. We haven't read the Word. We think, oh, God would never put nothing on me. I'm His favorite. He would never put sickness and disease on me, but He will. And so you wonder why people are sick. This young boy that was down here, I led a boy to Jesus here a while back down at DFW Airport. And after I got him led to Jesus, he was in the car with his daddy that day, and he was 18. I said, son, do you smoke or drink? Yeah. I said, well, you're a new creature in Christ now. You need to stop smoking and stop drinking. And he said, but all my friends smoke and drink. I said, then find you some new friends. You don't need your old ones. You're a new creature in Christ. I said, now, if you'll find you some new friends and get in God's Word, you'll be able to live a long, healthy life. But I said, if you stay with your old friends, it's going to bring sickness and pain and death into your life. He didn't believe that. He didn't believe that at all. He's a brand new Christian. 6 months later, his daddy called me one Saturday morning. He said, Thurman, my son, the one you led to Jesus, is in Grapevine in the hospital, and he's had hypothermia. He went out last night drinking with some of his buddies, and he came in and he passed out between the car and the house in the grass, and it was just right at freezing temperature. And he lay in the yard all night without a coat on at near freezing temperature. He now has hypothermia, and the doctors say he may not live. He can't talk or anything. So I went down there. He said, will you come pray for him? I said, sure. So I jumped in my car and drove down there. And I walked in, and aunts, uncles, everybody's there. They've called in the family because they think this 18-year-old boy is going to decease. I walked up to him. I said, can he talk? And his daddy said, no. I said, son, can you bat your eyes? I said, if you can, bat your eyes. So he batted his eyes a few times. I said, okay, I got a way of communicating with you. I said, now then, I'm going to ask you some questions, and if the answer is yes, I want you to bat your eye. I said, if the answer is no, don't do nothing. I said, son, did I tell you to leave your old friends and find you some new ones? He batted his eye. I thought he got it.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, His Divine Power Gives Us Everything We Need, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.